Hello! You're very welcome to the Alison Spittle Show. I'm Alison Spittle. I'm still not over Electric Picnic. I'm trying, but I'm not quite ready yet to recover. So let's get straight into the meat of this podcast. And this lad that I'm interviewing is called Shane Torres. Shane played the Vodafone Comedy Festival. And I did a little Google of all the American comedians before they come to the Dublin Vodafone Comedy Festival. And I just thought his stuff was really, really good. He has two slots on Conan, and I love them both. He's kind of like this, like, you think he's jolly American, probably because of the way he looks, you think he's jolly, but he's quite emotional, and I really, really love his comedy. And it was nice interviewing him. Why don't you have a listen here, and I'll chat to you properly about tour dates and what I'm up to after this interview. Okay, bye. Happening. Shane Torres.
Thank you so much.
Where are you from, Shane?
Originally from Fort Worth, Texas.
Okay.
But I lived in Portland, Oregon for a number of years after high school and stuff, or secondary school, I think you guys call it here.
Yeah. You're so nice to be thinking of our cultural references.
Well, I try. I'm freaking out about it, honestly. Like,
really?
Yeah, because I'm like kind of like, I'm one, not that my act is too referential to things like I'm like if I say donkeys, are they gonna get what I'm saying? Or
what are donkeys?
Dunkin' Donuts.
Oh yes, yeah, I know that. Good, okay. I'm learning. And did you have a gig last night?
No, I was off. My gig was drinking all the free beer they could put in me.
It's so good. Yeah. I love this festival for that. It's great. Yeah. So your first gig is tonight?
Yeah, yeah.
What stuff are you considering for the Irish audience?
I have no idea. Can I run something by you?
Totally.
My mother was from here.
Right, where was she from?
Carkinlish. Which
Carkinlish
is like,
in Limerick.
So I have this, I don't know if it's a good idea. Well, I guess we'll just get into it from we're spreading her ashes on Monday.
Oh shit! I wish I didn't laugh at that part.
No, it's fine. But I was gonna do this thing. Maybe I'll do it tomorrow and see how it.
Okay. Feel.
But like, I was gonna be like, oh well, my mother's actually from here. You know, she's like actually one of y'all, not like Americans or Irish kind
yeah,
of.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And she's here tonight, so if y'all give her a big round of applause, she might come out on stage and then like bring her urn out.
Oh, you should. That would be so funny.
Will they get?
They will. Irish people are really into funerals. they really are, genuinely.
Yeah.
It's a big thing for us.
Yeah, I said I don't want to bring her urn out, but I might go try and find something that looks like an urn.
Yeah. Oh, that's funny.
There's
that's
a funeral
really
home across the street too.
There is. That's handy. You can just pop in and go.
What's your cheapest urn?
And can I borrow it for an hour? Urn rentals. Yeah. It'll be fun. So you're spreading her ashes there. And when did she move over to America? Did she still have an Irish accent?
Oh, till the day she died.
Really?
Yeah. Like super thick.
You were brought up by an Irish mammy.
Yeah. Very much so.
They're a very big trope in Ireland. Like there's books dedicated to the art of Irish mammyism.
They like to...
So their punishment is wooden spoons.
Oh yeah,
spatulas.
We had that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We finally got too big for that. She broke the spoon over my little brother's ass. And like I'm the small one in my family.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I'm pretty sizable.
Yeah. You're very tall.
Yeah. I'm not very tall, but I'm not little.
Like, compared to me, you're very tall.
It's just a lot of people.
And Irish people are generally very short.
Yeah, she was a little woman.
Where's your dad from?
My dad was from Texas, but he's second generation Mexican American. So,
whoa,
yeah,
right, okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
So my folks, yeah. So she went over to, for work to be a nurse, and they met. Long story short, they met, and then they had kids, and then they had a divorce.
Hey, yeah. I'm a child of a divorce too.
Oh,
how
yeah?
old were you when they divorced?
I'm like 12 or 13, I think.
That's a yeah. I was a bit. I was about 14 or 15. Yeah. And I totally rebelled.
Is divorce common here?
It was illegal up until
90.
Yeah, it was. Is it 96 or 98? I think it's an even number.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I mean, like Ireland, were you brought up, you brought up Catholic if your parents are?
Oh, yeah.
Uber Catholic. What's your confirmation name?
I never got confirmed.
Because
I had... I think my older brother got confirmed, and then the split happened. And
yeah.
Then I think there's this weird thing, like, with the church, like, when someone gets divorced, you know, like, it's not as inclusive.
Yeah,
it's seen
true.
As a failure of faith in a lot of ways, I think, or, like...
Yeah, it's kind of, like, one of the big traits of Catholicism is, like, you stay. You
yeah.
never get divorced.
Yeah, and, which is sick.
Yeah, it is. But you, so you did communion then?
Yeah, the communion, and we did confessions and all that. Yeah. But my confirmation name
would have been
Dusty Dynamite.
Saint Dusty Dynamite.
Saint Dusty Dynamite.
He's the best saint of them all.
Yeah. But very Catholic. But we just it fell off right before that stuff was going to happen. I think my older brother got confirmed, but yeah.
Did you get lots of money?
I don't feel like I'm missing anything.
No, no. The confirmation is really a non-event.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, are you still a Catholic? Yeah. I'm 12.
Yeah, I guess I fear God.
Yeah, I still fear God.
I fear the idea of an omnipresent being who knows everything I'm doing wrong. Yes.
It's actually a clever age to confirm people at, because like, when you're 15 or whatever, you're like, there is no God.
Well, it happens quick.
It does, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, your lack of faith happens real, like, right when you get to that age of...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was thinking about like how we lie to children and tell them that Santa Claus is real. And do you think that's kind of like... I feel that's like a almost... like stabilizers on a bike for when you lose your faith in Santa, then God is not that bad. You know, the few years later, you're kind of like...
You think it's preparatory in a
I
sense.
I think it's preparatory. I think it's like, you know...
Well, yeah.
You're being lied to.
Yeah. Well, this one... I guess, like, if you learn that the one that's bringing you gifts is not real first...
Yeah.
The one who's gonna, like, cast you down into a fire pit, Not knowing that one's real, too, is like, oh, well, at least there's that. That's like
that's
a gift
happen.
In itself. Yeah.
Totally. So you moved to Oregon. Did you start comedy in Oregon?
I did, yeah.
Cool. And what's the scene like there?
Well, when I started there in Portland, it was there was a scene, but I guess much smaller than it is now. Now it's a pretty, like, popular city for comedy in some ways, and, like, they had... We had a huge festival and a good club, and the independent scenes there is crazy all the time. There's good stuff. Yeah.
Good.
Just tons of stuff. And then, what was I going to say? I started there a little over 10 years ago with these guys. Some of them were going to Ron Funches. Do you know who he is?
I've heard of Ron Funches.
Yeah. He was there, a good friend. Ian Carmel, who's a writer for Corden's show in the state. Co-head writer now, actually, and then Amy Mill, Kayla. There's a ton of people were there, and it was just kind of like this very interesting. Like everybody was trying to get it done, and nobody had gotten any kind of success yet. So everybody was working very hard and trying to move forward to a.
And who was the first person that kind of broke through?
Oh, Funches for sure.
And everyone was fine with Funches.
Right? Oh, everybody loves Funches. He's a hard person to hate. Very sweet. Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
We're getting too much into like normal stand-up talk where I'm like, where did you start comedy?
Gig like? That's the only thing I ever talk about half the time.
Have you been to a Denny's?
Yeah, thousands of times.
What are Denny's like?
Why do you?
I ask every American comedian that I get on my podcast.
Why? What's your?
Because I've never been to America. And Denny's to me seems like a mystery because I'm unsure. It's pancakes, isn't it? And coffee.
It's like a breakfast chain restaurant. Do you have IHOP here?
No, we don't have IHOP. We just got a Five Guys. Okay. Do you have we just got Five Guys.
Yeah, so I mean, it's just a breakfast chain, like breakfast restaurant. I mean, they do lunch and dinner. Do you know what you guys have diners here?
No, we have an Eddie Rockets, which is like a...
It's the concept of a diner.
Yeah, it's got booths and a little...
It's like, I mean, Denny's is like that a little bit, with okay. but like breakfast. It's fine.
Okay, it's just fine.
It's
yeah?
fine. I mean, well, I used to go hang out at one all the time when I was like... The summer, I think, between 15 and 16 about.
Yeah.
Maybe 14 to 15. We were just hanging out at this Denny's all the time, drink coffee, and like till like 5 or 6 in the morning most of the time.
That sounds incredible.
You just sit there and bullshit for hours on end, and then...
Yeah.
You go home and sleep, you know.
In Ireland, like where I grew up, is like pretty rural.
Where'd you grow up?
A place called Westmead. So that's.
I don't know why.
Yeah, no, it's fine.
Like I'm gonna know. a Westmead girl.
You will. I know.
Yeah.
You'll probably never drive through there. If you're going to Limerick, you're gonna go through like Leash and Offaly, which are similar counties.
Yeah.
But yeah, we just used to hang out on walls. There was no Denny's. So we just hang out on a wall.
Like a stone wall?
Stone wall outside some poor old lady's house. And then she would give out to us and say, move on. And then we'd move on to a next wall. And we would just hang out and smoke cigarettes.
That's our thing. That's like what people think happens.
It happens in Fort Worth, Texas? Or
no, in Ireland. That's what we think.
Really?
I think they really think they're like, oh, they just sit there and they're like, you know, like they go down to quarries and skip rocks and like.
I mean, yeah. What is your perception of Ireland, actually?
Well, I guess mine's a little still, because I do know some of it.
Yeah.
Not like, I'll say this.
Okay.
Well, last night, like, there were people, like, they ask, have you been here before? Any comic or anybody with the, anybody. And I'm like, yes, my mother was from here. And they're like, from here? You know, and they have to be like, actually.
Because
I understand that y'all get that a lot.
Yeah.
Like, here, that, like, well, I'm Irish. And, like, oh, are you, you know,
yeah
my great great grandfather came over here or, like, left from here.
Well, that's how we know you're definitely related to an Irish person if you're not willing to go, I'm Irish. Do you know what I mean? That you're like, there's a generation between me and Ireland.
Yeah. They're yeah, like, there's a generation between me and Ireland.
That's,
I get, my mother, yeah.
You never came to Limerick or anything like that as a kid? Or?
No, as a child, I did a couple of times.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, yeah. So a little stilted.
Yeah.
I think. People here are very, they're, first of all, very sweet.
Oh.
But, like, I feel this way when I travel abroad anywhere, so it's kind of,
yeah.
I always feel like that they're like, I'm missing something. Like, there's like the lost in translation kind of feeling in the sense of like, when I have like, if there's me and, two Irishmen talking, right?
Yeah.
And they're talking to each other in front of me, not trying to hide anything, but it still sounds like...
They're hiding something.
Yeah, they're inferring something.
That's colonialism, Shane.
Okay.
That's because Irish people had to be very secretive.
Yeah, well, it's stuck with you guys.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely
and,
stuck with us.
Yeah, and so I'm always just like, they're like, everything like, this guy thinks he's fucking Irish. Like, is what
what's Fort Worth like to grow up in?
It's great. It's
How big is it?
Oh, probably a million people surrounding it. Yeah.
Okay. I was expecting Fort Worth, Texas to be small.
No.
Because it's not Dallas. You don't
hear
well,
we're right next to Dallas. Literally right next to, like, they're
right.
40 minutes away.
Okay.
So Dallas is like 4.5 million people in it, 5 million or something like that.
That's a lot.
Yeah. What do you guys have here?
4.5. I think that's the population of Ireland.
Oh,
is
really?
Dallas?
I think we
have 6 million. I'll have to check.
Yeah.
But that's quite a lot of people in one place. I think Dublin has 1 million people.
Yeah.
Here.
Okay.
So Fort Worth is Dublin.
And I get, but it's there are a lot of like Irish, English, and Scottish women over there that were my mother's age, because
right
when the city started to like kind of like in the 60s when they became bigger cities, Fort Worth and Dallas,
yeah,
they needed medical professionals, so a lot of them
came over from Ireland.
yeah so and England and Scotland too, like, so they hired a bunch of these nurses and stuff, so
and they're getting married into the population.
Yes, pretty much, like, swear to God, that truly
right.
is what, yeah.
It's
funny how little things change. Like, yeah.
Oh, what did you
think? So there's
a
good
sorry.
Population of, like, and, like, a good amount of heritage. Like, they have an Irish festival and stuff every year. And
that's cool.
Yeah, you know, dancer. My Auntie Maura was, like, a She taught Irish dance to all the kids and all that kind of
stuff.
Oh,
you are very Irish.
Yeah. I tried it. Yeah.
Did you ever watch Dallas? And what did you think of Dallas?
The show?
Yeah.
No. That was well before me. Yeah.
I thought you may be curious.
Do you guys get it over here?
I had a time where I was very depressed living with my mother in my 20s, and I watched a lot of Dallas reruns. And I was like...
That's the first sign of depression.
It is, isn't it? When you're watching JR and you're like, Sue Ellen.
No, I never watched it. I know it's like
Yeah.
But that was like a thing. Like, it was a huge show. I know that. And
it was a huge show in Ireland.
Yeah.
There's a guy called T.R. Dallas who's a musician who wrote a song about who shot JR. And he's based his whole career just off Dallas.
No.
Yeah. I know it seems like I'm making it up. I know
that.
That
does sound like hipster bullshit.
It does, yeah. He's real. He's now a politician in.
What?
He's now like a local politician in actually.
Like a alderman.
Or? Like a council a councillor. So that's like, you know,
a
the,
city council kind of.
Yeah, but town council.
Town.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
This guy.
Yeah.
All right. Fine. I don't like him.
You haven't seen that. What did you used to watch when you were a kid then?
Oh.
That was the big thing.
Jesus. I was, I guess, cartoons, you know, like when you're a kid, just all the cartoons I could get my hands on. And then Dawson's Creek was big for me. That came at the right time.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. You were awakened by Dawson's Creek.
Yes. I had some very real awakenings because of Katie Holmes.
Were you team Dawson or team Pacey?
That's a good question. I think maybe team Pacey. But then I never finished the series.
So you don't know.
I have no idea.
But you'd like to think that maybe Joey...
I read on Wikipedia what happened to the end. I know Joey ends up with Pacey.
Yeah.
And Dawson becomes a success.
Your curiosity was like...
Yeah, I didn't...
Not
I can't,
enough to
I
did, watch
no,
it.
It's like I'm not going to read the whole book.
I'll get a footnote.
That's it, yeah. I just read the last page of every book and I'm... and then I can be like, and then at the end, and then...
and then you're fine. You know how it ends up. Have you traveled anywhere else to do comedy outside of America?
Montreal and Toronto. Just so, like...
Yeah.
Just pretty good-sized cities in North America still, but Canada. You know, so it's not a terribly huge jaunt or anything. You know, like, it wasn't... It's different culturally for sure, but it's not so different.
You have to get your passport, do you?
Yeah, yeah. So I mean, it's like that's so it counts, but barely, you know. Like, but yeah, I'm interested to see how it goes tonight. Honestly, I'm kind of freaking out.
I think you'd be fine.
Yeah,
I really think you'd be fine. Irish people love hearing about themselves. I saw John Mulaney do.
Isn't he something special?
He's incredible.
Yeah,
he's incredibly special. He's like gifted.
Yeah. He's pretty profound talent. Yeah.
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 He did 20 minutes on, we have this show in Ireland called Liveline, which is like an afternoon radio show where people ring in and complain. And one of the days it could be like, my son is in a cult, Joe. You have to get him out. And then other people are ringing. Or it could be, what was the complaint? Oh, here's one. So the Pope is visiting Ireland next month. And there's two people performing at the Pope ceremony. One guy is called Nathan Carter, who's an English guy who does country music, and he's so big in Ireland. He's not big anywhere else, but he's massive in Ireland. And he's going to be singing Everybody Hurts by R.E.M. But old Irish Catholic people are convinced that that's not Nathan Carter's song to sing, that it's this priest called Father Ray. I think it's Father Ray. He sang Everybody Hurts, and they're like, that's Father Ray's song. But it's actually R.E.M.'s song.
Yeah. So this is a bit...
So they
called into this show to say that.
They had an hour-long argument just over who owns Everybody Hurts.
And it's are they thinking... It's not two different songs with the same title.
No, it's the same song by R.E.M.
Why do they think...
I think they feel because maybe Father Ray is a priest, that he deserves it more... Then
a
country star. That's the kind of shit we get into here.
Yeah. Who's the other person performing at this?
Nathan Carter. He's like this.
No. Oh. You said there's two.
Father Ray, but he's not going to be singing that song. I think he's to sing another song.
So those two people are performing, and they think that he shouldn't sing
that song, that it should be the other guy that sings that song.
And why, over an R.E.M. song?
Yeah, yeah. Now, to be honest with you, I didn't focus in much because I was like, this is ridiculous. So I wasn't listening. So I don't know.
This is how these problems keep going, Alice.
I know.
You're telling me, and I'm going to go over to the States and be like, you know what these fucking people do over there?
You should blame me. You should blame
me. I will blame Allison Spittle of the Allison Spittle Show on the HPN network.
That's it. John Mulaney did a whole 20-minute set just on Liveline, and it was about a woman losing a ring. And, like, Joe Duffy, the presenter, was really egging her on emotionally. And he was saying, you know, she was ringing in, and she's like, Joe, I've after
Joe Duffy's the host of this.
Joe Duffy's the host. And he's like, Joe, I've after losing my ring, my husband is dead, and I really need this ring back. And Joe was like, it's like you've lost him all over again, isn't it? Yeah.
Joe.
I went on the Joe Duffy Show years ago.
Yeah.
Because I did this article. I did this article about, because I used to get, I used to walk down the street and people used to just go, fat bitch or something like that. It was like really
That's
mean.
That's horrible.
Horrible. But I wrote an article about it and it was just like, just to go fuck you or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
And then it blew up in Ireland, and then I had to go on the Joe Duffy Show, and it was not, this is like 3 years ago when I wasn't, I didn't have a TV show or anything like that at that time.
Do you have a TV show?
I do.
Why couldn't I get on that?
I'll get you on next
no,
time.
No.
As my American cousin.
I'm a podcast face.
But so they got me on, and I was like, oh, go on. I don't mind. And I was chatting, and then Joe was like, and I said, yeah, they're calling me a fat bitch, Joe. And Joe was like, and how does that make you feel? I say, not good.
No shit.
So John Mulaney did a whole 20-minute bit on that, and the Irish people lapped it up.
Yeah.
So you're going to be fine. I've seen your Conan stuff. It's going to go down really well.
Okay, good.
Anyway, what are you going to do, actually? Then this
tonight
is going out after, so it doesn't
when
matter.
When does this come out?
It's going to go out in about a month, I'd
okay
say. Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. I've been having this, like, I did that album and the half-hour special.
It's
stuff
on Spotify.
It's on
if you
Spotify
want to have a listen, it's very good.
Yeah, established 1981 on Comedy Central Records. And I did the half-hour with him, too, a little half-hour special on television. So I've been turning over this new material for close to a year now.
Oh, right. That's not on this special at all.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I've been, like, some of it's getting pretty good.
Yeah.
And some of it is a little not there yet. You know, it's only been a year. And, like, I think y'all do comedy a little different over here,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, I was going to say that. How long does it take you to get rid of an hour? Like,
oh, I mean, I can get rid of an hour.
How long
getting
does it take
one together
to make an hour? Yeah.
Right now, I feel like I have about 30 minutes of, like, what I would consider is very, very good stuff.
Yeah.
And then another 30 that is okay, just not done. Chicken isn't cooked yet,
but it's in the oven.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think to get all this humming along, and I'll dump some of it and put new stuff together, probably another year before I want to take. Yeah, because, like, you guys put out stuff fast here.
We kind of, because of the Edinburgh Festival, we're kind of pushed. So I'm bringing an hour to the Edinburgh Festival.
I'll be there
this month. You're coming as well?
Yeah. I'm hanging out for a little bit, yeah.
Amazing. Yeah. Cool.
But I think we think of it in different ways, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, because you'll just, and not to say one is better than the other, but, like, ours is denser, I think, with like, actual jokes.
Definitely.
Yeah. And yours has that line that runs through it a lot of the time.
Yeah.
Of a theme or something. You know, like, and then.
Yeah.
And we'll put together 55 minutes of, like, these are funny things.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they're not, like, as great as Mulaney is, there's not, like, an overarching theme to, like, that last special of his.
No.
Except it being fucking hilarious. Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah. And you guys tend to find a thread to run through the whole thing, I find.
I find it so hard to link material. That would be my big
It's
thing.
Difficult, but, like, I think that's, like, it's good. Like, I try to do it in a way, like, on my album, I did that thing about wedding nights,
uh-huh,
and then I did a thing about babies falling out of windows.
Right, yeah. There's a whole week that's so fucked up.
I think it's pretty much done now.
Yeah.
but I put those next to each other because I feel like they seem like a natural transition without actually having to make one.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like you're like, well, like if you're talking about wedding nights, you know, like bringing up kids after that is not.
It's not crazy.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
Not like
it's not like my dog ate all of my Alpo or, you know, like, you know, like, you, I don't know, like what you said, but like it's not like, yeah, so this wedding night's like, and then you would ask about Denny's or something.
Yeah. No, I'm just like, I think even in Ireland and the UK, it's a tiny bit different as well. The UK do lots, not that all of the people in the UK do lots of stuff, but they do a lot of puns and wordplay. Yeah. And like Irish, I'd say Irish comedians are more kind of like, my stuff's very anecdotal.
Yeah.
So it would just be like, this thing happened, and then this thing happened.
Okay.
You know
yeah.
And you do that bullshit.
And I do a fair amount of stories and stuff in my act, so.
Yeah.
That's probably what I'll lean on. I'm just not a very good out of the gate kind of comic. I think when I get my first laugh, I'll probably feel okay tonight, but like.
Yeah. Who are you on with?
I think I'm on with Foyles, Arms, and Hogg.
Are you in the big tent? The gas station?
Maybe.
Their audience are really, really nice. They've kind of like built a core organic audience for years. They've never like they've always done like internet clips and stuff, and they gig all around Ireland all the time, to the point now where
they have like huge crowd. They're pretty
huge. Huge. Like they sell out like the biggest fair in Ireland, like
really
again and again and again. They do full runs at it. They're just
okay.
Really big.
I'm doing something. I think it's with them tonight.
That's
but
good.
I have one with them somewhere, and then some guy on Instagram asked me for free tickets. I have no idea who he is.
What? What's his name?
Fucking,
we can bleep it out.
I don't think we need to. But he was just like, it was real weird. Hold on, I got it right.
Did he message you, or was this a public
thing? He messaged me.
What?
Pervert.
That is overstepping a line.
Well, he did. here's what he said. He said, his name's Lil D-Y-L-L-Y. I don't know who this is.
D Y L L
Y.
Little Dilly. Is that what it sounds like?
Yeah.
Yeah, Little Dilly. Okay. Yeah.
Hey, Shane, any chance you have 2 spare tickets for your show on Friday evening? I don't know you.
Yeah.
I'm trying to impress a girl I've known for 2 years, and only recently have we been getting quotation marks close.
Close?
And I would be forever in your debt if there were any spare tickets. There's a very strong chance that she could be the future Miss O'Neill.
Oh my God.
So I'd be so, so grateful if you would be able to help me out here. If not, no worries. Best of luck here in Dublin. Anyway, no doubt you'll kill it. Smiley face, bicep.
Bicep. So let's pick apart this.
Yes.
What do you think of? Right. Let's start. Strong opening.
Just a young buck making his way in the world, unconventional by nature. No shit.
Is that his bio?
Yeah.
Let me have a look at him. Let me have a look.
There he goes. Hey. You take a peek at this fucking jerk. You don't know.
Cheeky.
He's not a comic.
I don't know him. No.
I thought like maybe it's a comic, you know, or something.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
And I'm always nice and try to help people, but I don't want to fucking help.
He's
this
a civilian.
Guy.
First of all, what's his definition of close? Like,
yeah, and also, basically, he's trying to say,
yeah,
I want to get laid.
He basically is, Shane, can you
help me get laid.
Yeah.
And
does she want to lay him?
No.
It doesn't seem that way. If they've known
for
2 years.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Sometimes you can people spark. But this is a weird thing to ask, right?
Yeah.
This is not.
You feel complicit
and
in
I
something.
Don't, well, like, I, yeah. And also, like, I don't. I'm not doing this.
Okay.
First of all. Secondly. That's weird. Like, I was like, and like, I was feeling kind of like, well, maybe like this isn't like that odd to them over there when I got this, you know, like, or
it's
over.
Odd.
Okay, yeah. And I was like, maybe this is just a thing, you know, like,
yeah.
Because I don't want to be like this brash, rude, like, loud American, you know, like, I don't want to be like, I like, it could be, I don't, you know, like, you never know culturally. Like, so I was kind of like, I didn't want to be like, you know, like, I didn't want people to be like, you know, he wouldn't give this guy free tickets. Like, like,
what a prick.
Yeah. I didn't think so, but it was a little.
I mean, how far does he want you to go? Like, you've, like, say,
I don't know how to get him
tickets.
Free tickets anyways.
Yeah, and if you're, like...
Free tickets, I think.
Yeah?
Yeah. But I'm not giving them to this guy. I don't...
No.
What? That was weird. It's not, he's not a jerk. I don't, maybe.
No, he's not a jerk at all. It's just weird. It's just weird.
Yeah.
Like, what if he wants you to be his friend? What if
I know.
Like,
and
this
that's
is my
like,
friend Shane Torres. I got free tickets
yeah,
off him.
Now
aren't
have
I
sex
with,
yeah. Aren't I impressive by this other person?
Shane Torres endorses this dick. So it is to know. Have you ever actually been in other weird situations where you have to be matchmaker?
No. No, I think people know that I'm not that person. I mean, it's pretty.
Do you get asked to do stuff a lot? I feel you have a kind face.
I think I have a nice face, but
I feel like people will talk to you at bus stops or
they do. I mean, I live in New York, so nobody talks to anybody. But I think you know people are like you seem sweet.
Yeah.
And then but also I think when people don't know me, they're like they think I look like. Like a psycho or something, too.
Really?
Yeah, well, I'm big, and I have the long hair and the beard and everything. Yeah. You know, like, so, like, I'm nice. I try to be nice, but some people, like, I think they just look at me and they're like, this fucking guy looks like a lunatic.
That's it. But I've recently got a therapist. And
how's that going?
What happened was one day I didn't go in for my session and I got charged for it, which it's perfectly fair now and I understand now. But at the time I was like, no, I'm never going back. So now I'm in between therapists, but I need to like get another one.
It's an important relationship.
So important. Yeah. It's like dating, except you have to pay them like €80 an hour.
And
it's like, ugh.
And it's good, I think, but it is, you know, there's like a big stigma with mental health, I think.
In Ireland, we're kind of trying to get over that because there was a massive stigma.
Yeah. I know. Yeah.
It was crazy.
It's like for us, it's seen as weakness. And for women, I think it's seen as hysteria. Like,
yeah.
You know, like it's a way to just discount somebody, essentially. Like, which it should be. It's somebody trying to improve themselves, really.
Yeah, it's like going to the gym.
Yeah. From mental gymnastics.
Exactly. So do you go to a therapist yourself?
I do,
then?
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
And I used to go from the age of 13 to about 19 when it was free. And then when I left school, they were like, you know, you have to pay for this. And I was like, I'm fine.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I think it's helping. My therapist seems to have the approach of, like, letting you discover it yourself. Like, she leads you down a path and you kind of come to your own realization of stuff.
Cool.
Yeah, it takes a while.
Yeah.
It's a little longer, I think, than her just being like, you know, this is this and this is this. Yeah, like, because I think the effectiveness of it is, it's pretty impactful, I think, if you come to it on your own.
Yeah.
And I think that's, like, her idea behind it. So, like, just speaking as a methodology and the way she does it, it seems to be working okay, but it is taking a while for some of the stuff to be, like, emotionally clear.
Yeah, I feel that with, I wonder, like,
no, it's my baby brother. We can just put him on the show.
Dude, put him on the show.
Hey.
Yo.
What's up, man?
Hey, I need you to send me Auntie Anne's number.
Okay, I'll do it. You're on an Irish podcast right now.
I'm on an Irish podcast right now?
Yeah.
Hello.
That's Allison Spittle.
Did you get that picture I sent you last night?
She's a big celebrity here. What?
Really?
What'd you say? Hey, send you Auntie. He hung up.
You better send him Auntie Anne's number.
Yeah. We've been planning this trip for months.
Yeah.
And months and months. And now, like, the day before we get here, you know, like, I've been, like, trying to take care of this stuff. And it's like, now it's like.
Wait, you've had to be, like, the logistical organizer.
Yeah, because it's like, it all timed out with this trip for the festival. So I didn't mind taking the responsibility of being like, we need to do this, this, and this.
Yeah.
You know, that seems fine, right?
Yeah, well, what's the itinerary now for spreading your mother's ashes? Are you going to go see any sites?
Yeah. Fucking open field in the middle of Limerick. We'll do that, and then I'll come back up here, and I'll leave on Wednesday.
Nice. Nice. Okay.
Yeah. Edinburgh. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we'll do that.
And you're going to Edinburgh then? Yeah. You're doing a full month for a week or?
No, I'm not doing any. I'm doing some spots, but I'm not doing a show.
Yeah.
I'm just going to check it out in case I want to do it in a year's time or something.
Well, you're on this side of the continent.
It's a cheap flight and everything. So, yeah. Are you doing a full show?
I'm in the full month and a full show, yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, and like, I was all like, I don't know what it's like for Americans, but over here it's kind of seen as like, this is the place where you make your career. And I've done two shows before. The first show was terrible. The first show was basically me going, I have an hour of material, therefore I have a show. Which is not approach. Do you know, I was like two or 3 years into doing comedy.
Oh,
that
my
stage.
God. Oh, no one has an hour of material at that point.
I know.
Yeah.
I know.
No, not even the greats.
Not even the greats. And so weird, like the longer you do comedy, the kind of, the shorter space of time you can kind of cook up material. Do you know what I mean? Like, it took me.
The muscle gets stronger.
Yes.
Yeah. How long have you been doing comedy?
8 years.
Okay.
8 years. Yeah. And this hour, like, I was caring about it a lot. And then last week I had a bereavement and now I'm like, I do not give a fuck. I do not.
Yeah.
Like, before I was like, Edinburgh's be all and end all, but Edinburgh's a bubble, you know, and my life.
No, and it's a valuable one.
Totally valuable.
But yeah, they're all like that, though.
Yeah.
Comedy is a bubble. It's just like the idea of comedy as a business is a bubble. It's just bigger than the rest of the bubbles in it. Like.
Well, when did you start? Like, how long have you been in comedy?
It'll be 11 years, November 4th.
11 years. I'm actually, 9 years in August. Okay. So I'm practically, like, 9 years. But when did you start, like, really trying at comedy? Like, at what stage? I gave it up after a year.
I stuck with it. I just, like, right out of the gate, I thought it was. I knew it was going to be pretty important to me. So, and then I think more and more so.
Really?
Yeah.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
What was your first big moment for you in comedy? Like, what was the
Okay, that's a fun question. I always think, so there was this bar in Portland. I started in Portland.
Yeah.
There's this bar that on Tuesday nights called Suki's. It's in the basement of a Travel Lodge hotel.
Ooh.
And real dump, but great people.
Yeah.
Yeah, and greasy bar food, the whole thing. It's just not, like, a hot spot, you know, but, like, a lot of people hung up there because it was a good dive.
Okay.
And we had this guy, Dax Jordan, who I'm still friends with, he had an open mic there. You know, everybody comes up and does their 5 minutes or whatever.
Mm.
And it was particularly hard room. Like, but, you know, that's where the comics come out and drink and people are watching, kind of, you know.
Other comics were watching, so were other you performing?
Comic, yeah, so a little bit.
A little bit for them.
And then, but there'd always be a little bit of an audience, but not much of one. And then one night, nobody was getting the crowd that was there.
Yeah.
And then I was like the one who turned the room. So that was my first big moment of like, and I was seeing comics I really liked and respected go up and not get them the way that I could see them get them before.
Yeah.
And then I was the one who did it.
And were you assessing from the side or did you just go up?
Well, you always, I watch, you know, but yeah, I was like, maybe like this or maybe like that, you know, kind of look and think.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then,
What were the goals for yourself when you first started doing comedy? What did you want to do?
I don't know if I ever really had any until things started to happen. Like, I just wanted to be very funny and sell a lot of tickets. I mean, that's still, like, the goal is, like, for me to come here and just be like, everyone wants to see the Shane Torres. You know, like,
yeah. Of course.
To sell at the big rooms, you know.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I have some other ideas and trying, you know.
It's hard to say them before they happen.
Yes, very much so. Because I don't want them to feel like fucked or fake, you know, like.
Yeah.
Or like pie in the sky, either kind of thing. But there's a lot, a whole lot that you have to like think about and do outside of just being a regular stand-up performing comic.
Mm.
That. Like, once you have some success, I think people are like, what's your TV show idea? What's this idea? Like, you know, like, tell it, do you want to write? Do you want to act? Do you want to, like, produce? Like, do you want to
do anything other than stand-up
and comedy? And it's like, I was like, well, fuck, I didn't know this was going to lead to this problem.
Yeah.
It's just like, and I don't think I want to just be a stand-up comic either, like, because it's sad, kind of, if you, like, if you don't
it's
go
nice.
Far like you're just a person chasing a little paycheck across to every town. You know, like in there, yeah.
Are you like a, like, would you have been a road comedian before?
I'm a road comedian now. Yeah. And I like, I'm very happy,
totally,
you know, like
yeah.
with the work and like that, that I get to do and places I get to perform and stuff. Like, this is a dream, you know,
yeah.
like I get, I fly over, they fly me over, they put me up in a hotel, you know.
Oh, it's so cool.
Yeah, it's great. So it's not that it's bad, but like, just being at the party is not enough, you know, like meaning you need to really I want to be the comic other comics want to watch.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like, and then I want to also be the comic that the crowds want to see. Like, that's
yeah.
And I know, I think I'm getting okay at this. But it's super fucking difficult. And it's a little scary because I don't know how to do what's next. You know, like,
yeah.
And it's constantly like, it's like stepping out onto a frozen lake.
Mm. Yeah.
And they're going to be like, there's the shore.
Get to it.
Yeah. Like, it's solid. How solid is it?
Yeah. Yeah. I always feel like I'm paddling.
Yeah. And
constantly.
It's terrifying.
It is terrifying.
And I'm happy too. You know, it's like, I think about it a lot because, like, when I was, my last job was waiting tables in a cafe.
Yeah.
And then, or I dog walked too when I moved to New York for a little bit. But, like,
yeah.
I was miserable. You know, I'd be mad and then I'd be like, I'd literally like walk like 25 miles in a day and then have to go do open mics and do shows. And that was the thing that was just getting me through the 25 miles a day walking dogs in the freezing cold.
Yeah.
And not that that's like the hardest job in the world, but it did suck. No one would like
yeah,
it. You
no
know?
One would like it. No.
Yeah,
no.
You pick up shit. You literally pick up shit in the cold.
Yeah. They're frozen at least.
Yeah.
At least they're
yeah.
hard.
No, you, like, well, you can't get enough dexterity with your hands because you have your gloves on. So you have to like put a plastic bag over your hand and feel warm dog shit on the other side of it.
That is so visceral. That yeah. is so.
And then you're like, all right.
Yeah.
I guess I'll go do comedy now. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. I'll go, like, I literally have picked up shit in the middle of the street.
Yeah.
In front of people who have enough money to make me walk their dogs.
It's.
And then you go to, like, do an open mic and feel it. So it's hard to look back after you've had something for a while and appreciate things, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you're not careful.
How long ago was that?
Oh, a year and a half, 2 years.
A year and a half ago, you were doing open spots.
2 years. Maybe probably 2 years. Yeah.
2 years.
Yeah.
And you've been on Conan twice, and you're over here doing a festival. And you've been, how many times have you been to Montreal?
Just the festival once, and then I did, I've been there a couple other times for clubs and stuff, and then.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's not that I haven't come a long way either, you
no,
know.
No.
But I am full of dread all the time.
Yeah.
See, I am Irish. I am.
Yeah.
But it's very scary, I think. Like, that lake analogy, I think, is, like yeah, the closest I've come to describing. Because, like, it's just, like, the ice could crack at any second underneath your feet, and then you're going to be swimming in the middle of some really cold.
Do you feel like you've control over that?
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, I do. I have friends that I'm close with who are like not done as well as me or not as fortunate as I am yet, you know, like
yeah.
to have, and they're like scared and worried and I'm like, you're going to be fine. You're going to be great. So like, and I always tell them, you know, like the only person who's really going to stop you is you to a degree, you know, like no one can, like if I didn't like you,
yeah,
you know, like, and I'd be like, ah, fucker. Like, you know, it wouldn't stop you from coming to the States and trying to do comedy. You know, like,
no.
You know, like, I mean, like, there are very few people who can really, like, indent your career. Like, you have to make a pretty powerful enemy.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, to do that. And even then,
that's not the be all and end all.
Yeah, yeah. It doesn't matter who they are, really. You know, like, it just means you can't go down their avenues.
Yeah.
And now there are more avenues than ever. I get, like, 30 years ago, there was a different way to do things, but.
Yeah.
To answer your question, I do feel like I have a lot of control over it, and I just need to be more proactive in some stuff.
Cool.
And I work pretty hard, I think. But
I'm like that too. Like,
yeah.
So today I've been like having meetings and doing all the podcasts and then doing gigs later. But there are some days where I just don't get out of bed. And yeah. It's like, what the hell am I doing?
Yeah, like I'm supposed to like put a piece together for an audition.
Yeah.
Today.
Oh, you
today.
Do a self-tape? Isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah.
I hate
it's
those.
It's fucking horrible.
Yeah.
And I haven't even written the piece yet.
Yeah.
And it's for a show that didn't take me once already, which is fine. You know, like,
I don't.
But I'm like, and it's a due today. And I'm like, it's coming in on Monday because I'm not getting it done today. And like, if they want it.
Thank you for doing my podcast.
Yeah, I'm fine. I'm happy to do it. It's just one of those things of like, I don't have it done and I won't have it done. So I'm going to see if I can get it done these days. And the travel yesterday fucking killed me. It was brutal. Yeah. And now I'm still not quite there, but it'll be fine. Yeah.
I feel like I got you at a really reflective point in the day or something. It's great.
Well, yeah, it's like wait till I go outside and I see how overcast it is again.
Yeah.
I love it.
It's still muggy.
It reminds me of Portland.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, because that's high up.
It's in the Willamette Valley.
Right.
But it's Oregon is very, very green in that part. Like it, like much like Ireland, like there are waterfalls and like lots of water and rivers. And boats, and it's very lush, and it rains all the time, just not as heavy.
Okay.
Like,
yeah.
And our coastlines look kind of similar too. With less cliffs, but yeah,
okay.
Over there. But like, very rugged, cold water, kind of. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, my little brother is probably pretty mad about that call.
Do you want to do?
No. Fuck that.
Are you sure?
Yeah, like no, he's all the whole goddamn time I've been being like, you need to do this, you need, and then he wants to ask me the day before.
How old are you? How much older are you than your brother? Oh, he's older than you.
No, I'm older than him.
Oh, you're
I have three
older than him.
I have two brothers. So
okay.
There's three of us.
You're the middle child.
Yeah, it's Eamon, Shane, and Dermot.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
So your mother got the names.
Oh, yeah. My dad wanted to name me Fernando. but we skipped that, thank Christ.
Fernando. Have you heard the song Fernando?
Of course.
Yeah, sorry.
There was something in the air that night. Fernando.
Yeah, I don't know the middle bit either.
Yeah.
I was like,
it felt so right. Something like that. I make up the words a lot.
Nice. Yeah. Fuck it.
What
did it feel like going on Conan, actually?
Well, I was on there twice.
Yeah.
The first time I remember, actually, I found out, and I kept it to myself. And then I saw my little brother in Philadelphia. He was there for work, so I went down, and we had lunch.
Yeah.
And I told him in the car, and he started crying.
Oh!
Yeah, because it's big, you know,
it's
and Conan,
so
for a, and I don't know if how big he is, Conan is here. Like
he wouldn't be known to normal people, but comedians would just watch Conan.
Oh, massive.
Know,
yeah, and he's like a comics.
Yeah.
Late night show.
Yeah.
But so he was very happy for me.
That's so lovely.
Yeah, and he's not an emotional person.
Yeah.
And I just kept it to myself, and then I did it. A few people came out, and it was fast. I remember we had the set worked out, and you know, he's like, this is what you're doing. And I went in the day before just to kind of see how it went and stuff and, like, look at it and feel the room out.
Yeah.
And the next day I was there and sitting there. And I remember I enjoyed it. And I was very, like, introspective about it, I think. And afterwards. But not, not during. Like, during it was quick. Like, I remember I wish I had taken the time to enjoy it more instead of making such a big thing. It was a huge thing, and it still remains that it's an important part of my career and life. Like, I'm very proud of it, and I'll point to it that way.
Yeah.
But I don't think I was just like should have taken a little more time to be like, you did it. You know, like to really sit in it and enjoy it for a moment, which is something I didn't do, and I remember it happening quick.
Right.
Like, I remember, like, the set itself feeling fast. Like, it was the exact amount of time. It was the 447 or 448 it always was.
Yeah.
But I remember feeling it was fast up there. Like,
is that stuff live? Is it, or is it?
No. It's pre-taped. Yeah.
Cool.
And
who else were you on with?
I was on with, this is cool, actually.
Yeah.
I was, so the day before when I went to watch,
Yeah.
The guests were Snoop Dogg and Steve, not Steve Jobs, Wozniak.
Wozniak.
He was the other person at Apple.
Oh, okay, yeah, yeah. Cool. Yeah,
so
yeah.
It's like literally two people who have changed the world and had an impactful way on culture and science and the way we live our lives, right? And everybody was walking around like, yeah, same shit, different day. Like, no one cared. And then the day I was on, the next day, they had bear cubs were the guests, like little, like this. And then Bahati Prinsloo was a supermodel.
Whoa, okay.
So, but they saw these, like, nobody cared about Snoop Dogg or Steve Wozniak, really.
Okay, yeah.
That I could see from the staff, like, everybody's like, it's fine, they're cool, they're normal people. And then, like, these little bear cubs were there. And people were freaking the fuck out. It were, like, they were just like, look at them!
I wonder if they have a special rider. Or
oh, my God. They were so cute. And then, yeah. And then it was like, and then it was Bahati Prinsloo, who is like a supermodel.
Okay, cool.
Then me.
And then you.
Yeah. It got gradually less cute as the show went on.
What was it like doing it the second time? Did you take
less stressful in a way? I had a couple friends fly out.
Okay.
And I had some managers and reps and all that kind of stuff this time. So it felt, it was still super fun. And then that bit went crazy.
Mm.
People really like responded to it a lot.
Which bit was that? Because I watched
the Guy Fieri thing.
Yeah.
Do you guys get him over here?
Yeah, we do. Yeah, my boyfriend's favorite thing to do would be watch Diner Strike. Yeah,
it's a great show.
Like
it's so
two
fun.
In the morning or whatever. Yeah.
And that was different and more and more enjoyable. How would I say? It's very I don't know exactly how to say it. Like, I've been there before. You know, like, it didn't feel uniform. It still felt very special.
Yeah.
But, again, like, I was like, fuck, I didn't enjoy this the way I should have again.
Yeah.
And the same, you know, if I'm lucky enough to go back a third time.
Well, if it blew up the second time, then.
Hopefully.
There's no reason why you shouldn't go on a third time.
Yeah.
I'm excited for you. This seems like a really, like.
It is good.
A good part of your life. This seems like
I'm trying to step forward and do more, too, you know, like. Next time, I don't think I'll invite anyone at all.
Okay. Wow.
Like, I think I just want to do it
and
enjoy it for my, like, because I was, like, the first time was big and special, and my little brother came, and a couple of old friends came, and the second time, some good friends came, and I feel like, I don't, I feel very, like, are you having a good time? Are you like trying to please these people for making the effort to come?
Yeah.
You know, and I don't. And I'm happy they're there. I don't mean to make that, like, say that I'm not happy about that, but I, or make it seem that way at all. But I, like.
The next one is.
I'm still at work, you know, like, and I'm still wanting to do a great job.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, like, and so I don't want people there, like, feeling stressed or anxious for me. And, like, yeah, like, I wanted I wanted my mom to come to one, but she never did. She said she'd be too nervous for me.
Right.
Yeah. So that's it. Yeah, I think I'll do those
on
my own from now on.
Cool.
Yeah, yeah. Because I still, like, I love it. It's like stepping out from behind the curtain is, like,
is
cool.
What's that like?
It's cool.
Yeah.
Because, like, there are these two stagehands back there, and you're, like, you can hear them talking.
Yeah.
And you're, like, you're just, like, back there, and you're kind of, like, shaking your hands out or doing whatever you do before, and then you look at there's these two stage hands there, and they're like, you know, kind of like, good, you know, talking a little bit, and they'll be like, they're like, and then you just hear Conan like, my next guest is a very funny comedian, and he has an album or whatever, and then you're like, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome back, and then, like, you know, you walk out like a fucking superhero, you know, you come through a curtain like, I'm right fucking here, like, you know, like, yeah,
cool.
Like, you feel like you could take on the world in that moment.
Yeah, that's how I feel about some gigs.
Yeah, like they feel special and good.
They do.
And they don't all feel that way, and you wish they could and they shouldn't, but.
Yeah.
Because then none of them would or whatever, you know.
No, that's true. That's
but
true.
But, like, it is a.
It's kind of this weird,
like,
endorphin rush.
Yeah, and you come out and you're like, look at this. You know, like, look at me doing the thing every great comedian has aspired to do. And some of them have gone past doing late night sets and stuff. But this was like a goal for everybody at some point. And so like you feel like you make it into a club.
Yeah.
A bit, you know, like.
And you're like, hey.
Yeah, I was like, look at me, I did that. Like,
did
I
you catch my Conan set?
Yeah, and then, like, you go to New York, and you're, like, back at the club, and there's, like, yeah, that guy's got one, that guy's got a guy. They all got these guns. And then someone's just, like, fucking busboys got one.
Oh, my God. This has been such great fun. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. Thanks for making the time.
No, I'm really happy, because I saw your special, and I was like, he's funny, but there's also this, like, emotional core underneath it.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, I have feelings.
Yeah, there's a ton of it.
Even the Guy Ferrari thing.
Yeah, I get like, upset. People are mean.
Were you genuinely upset about
Guy Ferrari? Yeah, I think I've talked about it before, but I think people are, I don't know where this happened, but people are like happy to be negative and shitty in the world right now. Like, and that's like their valid opinion is negative.
Yeah.
Negative like attention and like looking at things in a negative way, and it's like fuck off, man. Like, you know, give something a chance. If it's not for you, it's fine, but it's like he's hurting no one.
I know,
you know, like he and it, like, you know, and and that's that way about everything. People just look at things and they're like, they're stupid, you know, like the general consensus is that something sucks without getting to know it a lot of the time, and it's all people with blogs and who don't have the courage to create or put themselves out there. So I most of the time, you know, like, and not everybody with a you get what I'm saying, but like,
I do, yeah.
It's just like you're this negative bystander. Like, it's like, fuck you, you fucking Yelp review. Like, you pricks. You know, and like, you can offer valid criticism, but none of it's ever, it's just mean and cheap. And the other thing is, it's cheap.
Yeah.
They're trying, they all shit on him for this. He's the example, but everybody shits on him the exact same way. You know, like, they all make fun of the way he looks.
Yeah. You
know, it's like, okay, this is supposed to, your criticism is the same as everybody else's criticism.
Yeah.
Meaning, like, yours is not creative either. You shit on him for not being a good creative person.
Yeah.
But you are literally doing the exact same thing that all of your cohorts are doing. Is that, you know, like, you're not better. You're the same. At least he has the courage to try to be different than these, like, stuffy suits on.
How do you deal with like criticism of yourself?
Oh, no one's gonna hurt me more than I'm gonna hurt myself. Well,
me
criticism.
Too.
Yeah, and like, and I don't like it. You know, like people really can hurt me, but sometimes I get valid criticism.
Yeah.
From people, and I have to take it in. And that's, I'm not saying things are above being criticized at all, but like, I think you should criticize them correctly.
Yeah.
You know, like the thing that happens with women a lot in comedy is like they don't even get their act shit on, like they get physically like and verbally like assaulted essentially for being up there, you know, like a lot, not all the, you know, it's like, but like some people are just fucking like, I have a friend who just did a late night set, and there's like, yo, kind all this kind of mean shit they would say about her on the internet, like trolls, you know, and they're like, and they're fucking, they're nobodies, and they're also not even criticizing her work. They're just criticizing the presence of her.
I know.
Yeah,
I know.
And that's what I think. And I get some of that, too, but not to the degree that, you know, like a lot of other people do. But, like, that's the thing that's upsetting to me. It's like, you know, it's like, you're not even listening. And you're like, this joke? What about this joke? Like, if they were like, I don't like this joke because of this, or she seems like, you know, the timing was off on this. She rushed that. Like, if there was any kind of valid criticism from these people. But there never is. They're just trying to hurt people. It's not even criticism. It's bullying. There's a big difference between the two.
And it's definitely come up a lot lately. It's crazy. It's just like, it's really sad to look at late night TV shows. And then, you know, you go to the YouTube. I watch American comedians, and I watch whatever spots they do on the late night talk shows. And there's a massive difference between men and women. Like in criticism.
Oh, it's great, like, and what they're criticizing. Like, I got.
I don't even want you to go. I got, because sometimes I feel weird about when I do shows about criticism, doing a show about trolling, and then sometimes I'm recalling what people say to me, and then I don't feel good after the set, and I'm like, why am I doing this? Why am I?
Yeah, and you're running yourself through the fucking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And before I was like, oh, because I'm showing them to be stupid. But yeah. It's like, they don't really matter, Allison. Why are you even...
Yeah, and you want to... I get a little bit of like the like... Yeah. You want to like stick your thumb in their eye, kind of like.
Yeah, yeah.
And the best way to do that is by living well and like just doing more.
And that is a good note to end on.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Shane. Then,
sorry.
I really appreciate it.
No, yeah, I just got that. Yeah.
No, you're fine. You're fine.
Thank you for having me. Thanks for making the time. Yeah, I hope I wasn't too preachy or anything like that.
No. I'm so happy that like I got to DM you and get you on my podcast, because you and Rhea Butcher.
Rhea's wonderful, isn't she?
She's so good.
Did she already do this?
She's done it and you've done it, so you're my Americans that I'm happy to have.
Yeah,
and
I think we're both happy. I don't speak for Rhea, but we're both happy. Yeah, she's great.
Thank you so much.
Well, thank you. This is the Allison Spittle Show, everyone. Tune in again next week. Is it weekly?
It's a bi-weekly.
It's bi-weekly.
Bi-weekly.
Yeah. So you just heard Rhea Butcher. Next week is Shane Torres.
I'll keep that in. Put it in. Thank you so much. I'm going to put on the fan.
Okay. Take care. Thank you.
Thank you very much for listening to the Allison Spittle Show. I've been Allison Spittle. Sarah Garvey is the producer extraordinaire. William Conway did the artwork. Bobby Ahern from No Monster Club had a great gig at Electric Picnic at Trailer Park. And he also did the music for this podcast. So forever grateful to him. Thank you very much to Alan Bennett from Headstuff and Charles and Dermot for helping me start this podcast off. I have a recommendation for The Fringe before we go anywhere. So Giles Brody, who was involved in the setting up of this podcast, right? He's joined forces with Bobby Ahern from No Monster Club, and they've made a musical. And the musical is loosely based on the court case that Jedward had last year. It sounds feckin' mad. I've heard about one of the characters in the script, and it's just going to be the maddest thing you ever see at The Fringe. And because Giles Brody wrote it, it's going to be the funniest thing you see at The Fringe. And it's got Tony Cantwell and Kevin McGahern and Aoife Spratton, Simon Mulholland, and loads of great people. Loads of great, great people. So you should go check that out. Now, I'm setting up a tour for the start of next year. So give me a shout on Instagram or on Facebook or on Twitter if you know anywhere good in your area that I could tour to. You know what I mean? Because I gave it a go last year and I've made some like... I've learned some lessons, but if there's anywhere you'd like me to go next year, please just contact me, and I'm going to try and sit down next week and sort out some stuff. Also, The Guilty Feminist is on October 1st. I'm on and so that's in Vicar Street with Deborah Francis White, and we're going to get a guest and it's going to be really good. I think tickets are really, really, you're scraping the barrel getting tickets now, so be quick and get them now. And then I'm in Kinsale Literary Fest, and I'm doing an in conversation with Simon Mulholland, who is the fella that wrote Nowhere Fast With Me and my boyfriend, and Tara Flynn. And we're going to have a conversation together for the Kinsale Literary Fest, and you can get tickets for that. I'm also at the Red Line Fest as well, and I'm on with like Eva Dooley and Eimear and Sarah, who wrote Oh My God, What a Complete Ashling. And it's gonna be great fun as well. So I'm excited about doing literary festivals. And also I'm doing the NUIG Galway. I'm doing that with Kevin McGarren. I can't remember what date that is, but I'll sort it out and get that on my website pretty soon. So those are all the dates, really. If you were there for the Sharon Horgan talk, thanks very much for coming. And I'll try and do some more live podcasts soon. I'm still in Dublin. I'm homeless. I'm very lucky. I shouldn't be saying I'm homeless. But I mean, you know, I don't have my own home at the moment. Because I'm in between moving to Dublin and London. And yeah. I'm really sorry if you're looking for a house at the moment. It's very hard, especially in Dublin. Got lots of. Anyway, I better go. You have a lovely day, and I'll chat to you soon. Wasn't Shane Torres good? I really like Shane as a person and as a comedian, and I think he's going to be really big. I just do. I'm glad I had him on the podcast. He's very kind, to be on it. But yeah, thank you for listening to the hashtag Apricot Party bit of the podcast. And I'm sorry I'm not funnier at the end, but I'm a bit tired. Have a lovely day. Bye.
This podcast is part of the Headstuff Podcast Network.